Sia.
And I'm Nell. We're Loud and Clear, a Julian the Phantoms rewatch podcast. We love it, you love it, so we're going to talk about it. This week we're covering episode 4, I Got the Music.
Yes, they really do have the music in this episode. This one starts out really strong with the opening musical montage. And I know in episode 1 we talked a lot about how this show was created by Kenny Ortega, and therefore it has very strong, like, vibes of similar projects that he's done, like High School Musical and Cheetah Girls. But I feel it most in this particular episode, in this montage where Julie is, you know, wearing that, like, cape style jacket and, like, dancing through the halls with the different, like, you know, students and banging on the drums in the music room and, like, being directed and everything. There's something about it that, like, distinctly reminds me of the scene from High School Musical where they all dance in the cafeteria.
Yeah. Yeah, which makes sense because that's also a Kenny Ortega
production. Yes. It's just, it's one of those big musical numbers that incorporates all of the different people, and I love it. It's so fun in the, it, like, it's the best way, and I love this show because it's unique. It's specifically about the band and the band performing, so we have these smaller, like, dance routines and productions or whatever from either Julie and the Phantoms or from, like, Carrie and Dirty Candy. But this one is just, like, that big all-encompassing number that everyone is in on. And, like, it's just, it's so fun. And one of the things I really love about it is, like, obviously it wraps up at the end and we just find out that Julie has been kind of imagining this all in her head. Like, she's playing out this big dance number kind of in this fantasy in her mind. Which definitely works for me because, you know, while those numbers are so much fun to watch, they're obviously very unrealistic that the school is just going to start dancing around in the middle of the hallway. But I like that we at least got one of these numbers in this show.
Yeah, I'll be honest. This is, like, not my favorite song in the show. But I do think it is fun to get a glimpse into sort of Julie's daydream.
Yeah.
With all the students dancing and stuff, and, like, she steals some drumsticks from some kid, and she has this little, like, dance thing with Nick, which is a thing that they do.
Yeah, it's definitely not the strongest song, either musically or lyrically. But I just like the vibe of it for this episode. I do also just really appreciate that we get Flynn doing, like, you know, the hip-hop interlude in it, because we don't really get to see a lot of her performing outside of her, like, you know, doing some DJing or whatever. So it's nice to actually, like, give her the opportunity to do some singing.
Yeah. And that actress is a very talented singer, so it's nice to get to see her have a little bit more involvement in the music.
Yes, absolutely.
But so Julie wakes up sort of out of her little daydream, and Flynn shows up, and Julie goes to play some music for Flynn, and she plays a bit of a couple of songs that she and Luke were working on all weekend, and the first one is called Great, which Flynn says has definite Gaga vibes, which I'm not sure I agree with, but okay. And then a little piece of a song that we will find out later is called Stand Tall, but was one that she, Julie, and her mom were working on before her mom died, and she and Luke finished it.
Yes. And I really like, again, this is where I feel like I watch this episode, I'm like, oh yeah, it really does have some of that music in it. I like that they are making a point to show us that, like, being in a band isn't just about, like, getting up and doing a performance. It actually requires them to create the music and practice it over and over and, like, spend time working on it. And so we're also getting little hints of, like, the stuff that is to come in future episodes. And it's nice because when we go forward then and watch those episodes later and hear those songs, we're going to be like, oh yeah, that's what they spent all weekend working on.
Right. Yeah, so, like, I like that they have those threads going through it. And so we'll see both of these songs show up later.
Right.
Which is really great. Flynn is like, so I'm glad you're having fun with your ghost band, but remember that they are in fact ghosts and you can't date a ghost. He's a ghost. He's not real. And Julie's like,
right.
Look, I'm not going to fall in love with a ghost or anything. I'm just going to have a mad crush on a ghost. It's no big right. deal.
And right. Flynn's yes, like, he's air, but he's cute air. Okay.
Right. And Flynn's like, sure. Just don't get yourself hurt. And then the topic changes because Flynn has gotten them a gig at the school dance, and Flynn has also set up a bunch of social media for them, so it's too late to say no.
Right. She's like, I am your social media manager, and I've got you covered. I'm taking care of all of this for you because I'm amazing. And I love that Julie's just like, we're not ready. Like, we're playing a school dance. We can't do that. That's in front of the entire school. And Flynn is just like, too late. You already have 68 likes. Like, this is happening. Also,
there are 15 people who go to your school, so it's fine.
Right. I was like, that's so many likes given the number of students at this school. Like,
Reggie thinks that this will be a lot of fun, and Luke is, like, not that convinced about this, but yeah. He gets on board when he's like, oh, this is just our first step. And then they have this little, like, we'll do this, and we'll do this, and we'll do this, and we'll do this, and we'll put out a country album that does surprisingly well, to which everyone's like, and Reggie says, I shred on the banjo.
And Julie says, okay, then I'll learn to fiddle. Like, she's just, yeah, down for it. This is their future now. Yeah. They've manifested it. So this is what's going
to
happen
for them. They also manifest that they'll get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but one of them won't be there because they'll have a blowout in 2038. And will, like, temporarily split up. And Reggie says it'll be Alex, because he's just so sensitive. Alex, meanwhile, is not there to defend himself.
Right. Julie's just like, and where is Alex for this conversation? He is off with his new ghost friend, Willie.
Right. They're at a museum. An empty yes. museum. Willie likes to skateboard in museums and break the rules, which Alex finds extremely charming of him. And Alex can't move a bench, so Willie has to help him do that with the power of hand holding.
It's so cute. I love it so much. Like,
and we find out that Alex can't focus because his anxiety is so bad, and he started playing the drums as part of a way to help with the anxiety. Like, it's just hard to be stressed when you're wailing on the drums.
Yes. Also, I mean, imagine the stress relief. You just, like, get to literally, like, bang it out, so.
Right. And then Willie's like, the thing that helps me with my stress is yelling in museums. And then he yes. coaches Alex into a nice, good shout.
Which I love for them. Like, honestly, it seems so cathartic. And I can imagine, like, it feels good having, like, all of the echoing, like, coming off the walls and everything.
Yeah.
So they have this whole cute moment in this museum. And it's just, like, a very sweet kind of bonding experience. It's really nice because, again, like, it's clear that Luke and Reggie, like, love Alex and are very supportive of him and, like, care about him a lot. But they're also just kind of focused on other things. Like, Alex is sitting here saying, I'm stressed out about this stuff and I have questions. And they're kind of like, okay, well, we just, like, don't have those questions and aren't really worried about that. So whatever, we're going to do this other thing. And Willie is, like, a little bit experienced enough and also kind of removed enough that he can answer those questions, but also just, like, validates a little bit of, like, what Alex is going through by being like,
right,
yeah, no, those, like, are normal things to, like, wonder right. about and, like, feel stressed about. And it's okay that you're having a tough time with this, and that's just kind of the person that you are, isn't it? Like, you're just an anxious little bean, aren't you? Okay, all right.
Yep. I love him so much.
It's so cute.
And we're practicing. We're practicing songs for the dance. And Alex is like, a dance? Ugh, okay, I guess. But Flynn shows up and is thrilled to hear the guys are here. She has done a total 180 on them. And is all, she's like, oh my god, the guys are here! And starts waving, and Julie's like, that's not where they are.
I love it because she's like, she's kind of fawning over them a little bit through this episode. And in like a really precious way, but she's like, ugh, and they're so cute, and like these guys and whatever. And I'm like, imagining it, and I'm like, okay. Flynn and Reggie, though, would, like, how would that work? Because I feel like that would be the obvious answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't know. I see them as way more just chaotic besties than anything else.
Right, I'm like, because obviously not Flynn and Luke. Like, no. It's Julie and Luke. And obviously not Flynn and Alex, like it's Willie and Alex.
It's right out, yeah.
So I'm like, it's just, I just like that she's just like, yes, and they're cute. And I just like looking at them, like, just show up. She says at one point later in the episode, like, Mama needs her eye candy.
Mama needs her eye candy. And we can't start practice because Carlos shows up and he's like, it is my job to protect you as the man of the house. And Julie's like, isn't Dad the man of the house? And he says, there can be two, which is very, right. So cute.
And then he's also like, also, you know, he needs all the help that he can get. They're like,
true.
Yeah.
And he is finding out, he's like, listen, there are ghosts around here. I don't sense any in here right now at this time, as he's surrounded by the boys.
Right. Reggie's like, incorrect.
But I've found out how to deal with ghosts and keep them out. Salt burns their souls out. And everyone's like, no, no. So he starts shaking salt around and shakes it unknowingly in the direction of Luke, Reggie, and then Alex. And Alex actually gets hit with the salt. And he starts like, oh my god, I'm fine.
He's like, I'm good. I just have to say, like, separate from the ghost issue, maybe, again, it's just the adult in me who has to, like, live with that, but I would be so frustrated if a child came in and just started, like, flinging salt around the room. I'm like, no, stop! We have to clean that up! Like, but, anyway, yeah, that's just me being like, yeah, that's just not what I want on the floor. Julie, right. However, is clearly unbothered by the mess. She's just like, you need to go so we can practice. And she convinces Flynn to, like, get Carlos to leave, so Flynn, like, walks him out of the house.
Yeah.
And Luke takes this opportunity. He's like, hey, like, I know we've been working on stuff together, but I also want to show you a few songs that I wrote for my band that we never got to record or perform. Like, maybe we can use some of those songs. And he gives her the notebook and is like, check some of these out.
One of them is Reggie's hit single, Home Is Where My Horse Is.
Which he refers to as a gift. Like, that is a gift. Like, that is a great song.
And Luke is like, stop putting your country songs in my notebook.
Yes. He tells her, like, hey, there's a bunch of ones dog-eared in there that I think you would like. And she's, of course, immediately looking at stuff that's not dog-eared and being nosy in his notebook. And he's just like, no, like, we're not even going to go there. She's got questions, like, sees a song about an Emily. Who is that? They're like, no, we're not investigating that right now. And instead, he starts playing her one of the other songs that he wants her to sing. And she's like, oh, yeah, like, I already know that song. Like, you want to, like, sample off of this other artist? And he's like, no, that's my song. Like, that's original music.
Mm-hmm. And Julie's like, literally used to sing this song all the time in the car with my mom. It's classic Trevor Wilson. Like, I was best friends with his daughter. I know his music. And he, this is Carrie's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at a picture of him and, oh my god, it's Bobby. It's Bobby, their bandmate.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my god, he's so old. And Alex says, ugh, he looks like a substitute teacher.
Which is just not flattering. And then Julie starts laying out all the info for them that is just hit after hit after hit of finding out that he basically took numerous songs that Luke wrote and he recorded and put them out as his own music without crediting Luke or his previous bandmates after they passed away, got all the credit, like, sold tons of albums, made tons of money. Now he owns a mansion, like, up in Malibu, and has his own private helicopter.
With his face all over it. Which seems like such a security risk.
Also tacky. Like, that is tacky.
Well, that too. Yeah, it is tacky, but also a security risk.
Like, what a choice. So, and they're all furious.
We find out that one of the songs, Crooked Teeth, is about Reggie, and Reggie is offended because he thought it was about Alex, and he's like, no, I don't like that song anymore.
I want to hear that song so bad.
Why? We never get to hear any of these songs.
I'm like, I want to know why you hate it so much. But they're furious. They're just like, how dare he do this to us? So they ask where he lives. Julie gives them a very, like, general idea. He lives on a mansion on the top of the hill up in Malibu, and they're like, "Okay, bye," and just leave and immediately show up at his house. And they're like, yeah, we're gonna haunt this dude. Like, we owe him for the things that he did to us.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of, like, Luke is really concerned with their legacy here. Mm-hmm. The others are like, hi, we could have used that money.
Yeah, obviously they can't use it being ghosts, but, like, Reggie makes a really good point of, like, you know, he could have shared it with their families. Like, his parents' house got turned into a bike shack, and maybe it would have been different if they'd had some of the money that Trevor /Bobby made from selling all of their songs. And that's definitely a pretty significant thing. Again, going back to what we discussed in a previous episode, for Reggie, this has to be so hard because in losing his parents' home, like, he doesn't even know where they are. So when we think about the material reality of that, like, him saying, hey, if they had got this money, maybe their house would still be there. It's kind of like saying, hey, maybe I would have had the opportunity to see them again.
Mm-hmm.
If Bobby hadn't done this and, like, been selfish about this. Right. And that's kind of like a really sad reality to consider. Like, what he did to them is actually so serious.
Yeah.
So.
So, we go to the boys who are at Trevor Wilson's house, Trevor Bobby's house, and he's got all these platinum records, including one for My Name is Luke. And Luke's like, my name is Luke.
Right, how dare he do this? Like,
which I have some questions about, because, like, did Luke's family not know who any of his bandmates were? Because wouldn't, like, had they seen, you'd think that if they knew who this was, like, I guess maybe this was after he changed his name, but they'd see that and be like, huh, this song seems oddly specifically about our child.
Right. And again, I guess it just depends on, like, if they actually knew much about his musical career, and if they kept up with any of that. But whether or not they did know that, or any of them did know that, like, clearly Bobby Trevor has taken all of the credit for it and, you know, used it to build himself this giant mansion with the helicopter and, like, a security fence and whatever else, and is, like, living this very, like, hipster yogi life up on the hill where he does things like wear sunglasses inside the house and, you know, meditate, which, like, that is not, like, a thing to judge, but the way it's presented is, it's like he's not doing it as, like, a spiritual thing or whatever. He's doing it as, like, a rich white man kind of thing.
Yeah, like, it's trendy. It's cool.
Exactly. Like, he's adopted this thing inside, for himself.
Which is, yes, terrible behavior.
Yes. So also, he's just, what is this outfit that he's wearing? I have questions.
Well, because he comes in wearing, like, a leather jacket and, like, tight pants or whatever, and then goes upstairs and changes into, like, a pair of cut-off sweatpants and, like, a silk robe.
Yes. And, like, a white t-shirt and, like, multiple layered necklaces and whatever. And he just, like, it's, like, boho chic, but, like, it's not working for him. Like, it just doesn't work.
Right. So the boys are getting ready to haunt him, and Alex is like, wait, this is my first haunting. I want to make it special. And then Reggie and Luke are like, whatever.
Okay.
That's weird. Like, okay, and then Alex is like, that was weird. And they go upstairs to haunt. Mm-hmm. Haunt Trevor, which includes Luke giving him a wet willy. We can't see who does it, but Luke does it in the first episode of the show, gives Bobby a wet willy, so you can assume that it's mm-hmm. Luke again.
Yes. And while they're haunting Bobby Trevor, Flynn and Julie have realized, like, this is what they're going to go do, is go and, like, haunt him. So they've gone over to Carrie's house in an attempt to essentially find the boys and stop them. And they've climbed over the security fence, which apparently was a whole thing. Julie mentions that the barbed wire is new. And sneak up to Carrie's house and basically ask to be, like, they don't, it's so awkward. They don't give an explanation of what they're doing there. They're just like, yeah, we're here. And also, can we have a drink? And can you let us in? And We're just here to, like, see you. Hi.
We need Nemesis. To tell you that Julie's band is playing at the dance tonight.
Yeah, hope you're gonna come. Wouldn't that be so great?
Yeah, Nick is there too, and they call him a bunch of nicknames. They call him, like, Nicky Poo, Nickalicious.
Which is so awkward.
It's so awkward.
Yeah.
So all this is going on.
If Julie is a bad liar, then, like, they're both just, like, bad under pressure. Like, Flynn is not better when she's, like, caught out.
No. But she's at least a little more shameless about it. I feel like she's just, like, going for it.
Which they love. Like,
they cause a mess. They spill water on the floor. And Julie's like, I'll go get towels. She's running off to see if she can find the boys, which they're at this time haunting. They're doing a big spook. They're, you know, playing music and then, like, turning the shower on and then fogging up the mirror in the bathroom to write Hello, Bobby, which definitely spooks Trevor.
Also, who do we think Jerry is? Because Bobby is, like, in there and the music and stuff is coming on and, like, they're doing all the obnoxious things and, like, he unplugs the music and then you hear the shower comes on and he goes, Jerry?
No, he says, Carrie, is that you?
Oh, Carrie. I swear to God, I heard Jerry, and I was like, that's so weird. Who is Jerry?
No, he says, Carrie, is that you?
Okay, that makes so much more sense to me. I was so confused. I'm like, who is this person?
Jerry.
In my head, he had a hobo living there with him, like the guy from The Glass Onion. Like, just a random dude named Jerry. Who may or may not be using the shower.
Anyway. So Alex traps him in the bathroom by holding the door closed, and then Trevor Bobby's just freaking out, and so he gets out, and he runs off. He's going down the stairs muttering, like, it's nothing Dr. Crystal can't fix. He says, Carrie, I'm going to see my therapist.
Right. Fires up the helicopter and leaves.
Which, like, is fired up before he even gets out there, so he probably has, like, a driver or a pilot who's, like, ready. He's, like, texted.
A driver?
Pilot. And Carrie just is like, oh my god, I can't believe this is my life. Which, like, this is makes it sound like perhaps this is not the first time something like this has occurred.
No, she's just like, this embarrassing. So embarrassing.
And the boys decide to moon Trevor as he leaves. Not for him, but for them. And Julie's like, really? You guys are so dumb.
Right, like why? And they're like, hey, if it were you, you would do it too. And she's like, okay. And she's trying to get them to refocus. Like, I get it. You're upset. This is really terrible. But, like, there's not really anything you can do about it now. Other than, like, work hard to be successful in your own right. And, like, get the fame and attention that you deserve. And, like, was already taken from you. So we're just like, you need to let this go. And need to focus on what we are doing together as a band. And they're like, yeah, obviously, that's definitely what we're going to do. We're totally going to put all of our mind and attention onto that and not at all be upset about the thing that he did and focus on getting him back. No.
Right. We're definitely not going to go find Willie and find out if we can haunt Trevor differently at all.
Right. And it's kind of funny because, again, like, the whole thing is they were like, we have to practice. And then they get to this point and she's like, I'm giving up. Just show up. Like, just make sure you show up. And they're like, we will. We will definitely be there at 9 p.m. sharp. Exactly. Yes. Correct. Mm-hmm. We'll do it.
So Julie goes to collect Flynn, who's telling a story about a chubby raccoon.
I love.
What is a raccoon doing in my backyard?
You want to see a picture?
So the boys go to find Willie, and they all get introduced, and Willie's like, cool, you've got pals. Willie can't help them talk to the living. He can do party tricks, but he can't talk to the living. But there is another ghost who can, so he's going to take them there.
I do love that his party trick, though, is to make the alarms on the cop ATVs, like, go off so that the skateboarders can escape. He's like, yeah, this is the cool thing I can do. I can flick my hand and, like, make the alarms go off. Save these fellow skateboarders from harassment or whatever. It's clear, too, like, they're really wanting this. And, I mean, you can read his intentions kind of however you want. But it does seem like he is just trying to help them.
Yeah.
He definitely could have, like, jumped to that sooner, but it's, like, I feel like maybe he's holding it out because he wasn't certain if it was a great idea to introduce him to this other ghost, but, like, it's very clear, like, they're really bothered by what's going on, and he's like, well, you know, maybe he can help you, like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. He sees Alex's sad little face and is like, well, I'd do anything for this little face.
Yeah. And so they end up showing up at the ghost club, the Hollywood Ghost Club, to meet the other ghost that Willie is recommending them to. And they're asking about the space and everything. And he's explaining, you know, it's closed off. You wouldn't know that it was here. And he goes to find the other ghost who we learn his name is Caleb. And Willie seems, like, very intimidated by this other ghost, just, like, nervous to talk to him. But also, like, when Caleb speaks to him and, like, you know, is approving or pleased with what he said, he seems really happy by it. So, like, they have a very interesting relationship, and I think part of that is just that Caleb is, like, a grown-up and is very powerful as a ghost.
Yeah.
And Willie is clearly, even though he's been dead a long time, like, he's still a young teenage person. Yeah. And kind of holds some of that. But he's very nervously like,
yeah,
are we still good? I brought my friends. And Caleb's like, oh, yes.
Yeah,
I'm very happy to meet them.
Yeah, Caleb's got this real sort of sinister aura. Like, he's got this real sort of scary... You get the sense that, like, he's powerful and that he's someone who you should maybe be a little afraid of. A little wary around. Willie certainly is. Seems a little flustered.
He's very much got the aura of, like, a Disney villain that, like, you meet and they don't always seem incredibly villainous right away, but they definitely seem, like, a little dark or spooky. It's like when Ariel meets Ursula, or, like, in The Princess and the Frog, when you meet the voodoo man, like, they just have this certain sense about them.
Yeah. We also see that Willie's all dressed up. He's got on his formal shorts, which is cute.
Yes.
And then we cut to the dance where Flynn is hyping up the crowd. There's, like, a few people there. They're clearly at, like, the school gym. It's unclear if they're, like, I don't know. This whole dance made it seem like Flynn was the one doing all of the work for it, and there don't appear to be adults involved. I think we see, like, a couple chaperones for a minute at some point, maybe. But,
yeah,
I don't know. It seems very much like a typical high school dance. It's not that exciting.
Yep. And we're just waiting to see what happens from here.
Yeah. That's pretty much where it ends, at the Hollywood Ghost Club.
Yep. So once again, they kind of leave us waiting to find out, like, what's going to happen next.
So let's go back now to the song we get. I got the music.
Yes.
Just for a minute.
It is a very interesting song. It turns out this will not be the only song that we get that kind of takes place inside of Julie's imagination. But it's definitely the first one. And again, it's like very upbeat and a lot of fun. And it's kind of like a big band sort of number. It's not as, like I said, it's not as, like, musically or lyrically complex as some of the other songs, but it's definitely got some vibes.
Yeah. It's got very, like, yeah, it's, I mean, it's very marching band. Like, the marching band is part of it. It's got all of that kind of thing, but it's also got, like, a little rap portion when Flynn is there, so...
Yes. Which is probably my favorite part of the entire song, to be honest. Like, it's just the most fun part of the whole song, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole song is, like, it's definitely big. It's got, like, the music teachers involved. It's got all these other people involved. All these people are dancing.
Yes. And it's fun, like, they have a little segment where you have, like, different people doing various, like, dance routines and stuff in the hallway, kind of, like, in a circle, so everyone's, like, watching them do their performances and stuff. It is really, like, an interesting thing to think about in terms of the lyrics, because she's saying over and over, like, I've got the music back inside of me.
Right.
So basically she's saying, like, hey, it took all this time, but there was kind of, like, a hole there, you know, where her mom passed away, and she kind of lost her passion for this. And now, hey, here it is. It's back. She's starting to feel that passion about music again and feel that connection to it again.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she sort of says, like, it's like the beat is taking over, weight off of my shoulders, dancing instead.
Yes.
So yeah, there's this clear, like, finding music again has inspired her. It's sort of reminded her of what she loves.
She also says it's stronger than before.
Yes.
Which I think is really interesting, because clearly music has been a part of her life for her whole life. Like, she grew up with it with her mother and, like, was kind of raised into it. And despite the fact that, you know, her mom is gone now, it's like she's finding more of a personal passion for it and saying, like, no, like, this really got me. I'm into it in a way that I wasn't kind of previously, and, like, feeling this passion for it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a fun song. I feel like it goes on for a little too long. Like, it's a long song.
Yeah.
But
especially because they just repeat the same thing over and over again. Like, maybe if there had been a little bit more variation, I think to it.
That's maybe why the rap portion works so well, is because it really breaks things up and you're like, okay, we're doing something a little bit different here. Even if some of the lyrics are a little bit silly of that portion where they say, yeah, we got the music back inside, let's do this, back like it's exclusive, wavy like a cruise ship.
Right.
What does that mean?
I mean, at least they didn't say wavy like a potato chip, you know?
Wavy like some Ruffles.
I mean, whatever, it's fine. It's also kind of funny because they say a couple things in this song that just feel like the language of it is very, like, 2020. Like, she says, baby, this is fire. This is my jam. And at one point, Flynn said, like, hey, that baseline cray.
Yeah.
And just, like, other silly things. And I'm just, like, and again, like, there's nothing wrong with that. I like it. Like, it works for the song and, like, the vibe of it. But I was, like, listening to it when I was rewatching the episode. And I was, like, oh, this is so quintessentially, like, 2020.
It is.
Like, it's just really that silly vibe.
But well, yeah, because they say, like, headlining this show, mic drop, and we go, ah, boom, cat, boom, boom, cat. That's the sound that you get with a marching band.
Like, yeah, it's, you know what it is? It's just insanely Gen Z. Like, yeah, there's just something so Gen Z about the lyrics. And, like, yeah, again, in the best way, like, it's fun and upbeat and, like, silly, and I like it a lot, but it's just... Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that I'm like, this works because of who's singing it and because of, like,
right,
the show that it's in.
Like, this is a song for people who were born after the year 2000.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so which accurate.
Does really hurt my soul a little bit.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Great. I'm gonna be hurting over that one for a while.
Apologies, sort of.
Like, not really.
A little bit. You know
what's interesting, too, is, like, this song isn't actually that long. I mean, like, it's about the same length as pretty much every song in the show, minus This Band Is Back. They're all between, like, 3 and 4 minutes long. So I think there is really something to be said about the fact that the lyrics are so repetitive, because it makes the song feel long. And I wonder if it's also due to the fact that it is that big band party number, and, mm-hmm, like, it takes place throughout the school with, like, all of the different things going around and, like, the pause for the dancing and stuff. And it's like, maybe it just would have benefited from just being shorter and cutting some of that stuff out. Or in some way making it more lyrically specific to Julie and not just, like, that kind of song.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Not, it's definitely a fun song. I listen to it when I listen to the soundtrack, but it's not my favorite. Mm-hmm. It's not anywhere near my favorite, yeah, of the songs that they have on the show.
In general, I think this is not necessarily my favorite episode. Like, there are some, yeah, parts of it that are really good, but I feel like there's so much that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have liked to have a little more time with some of those things.
Yeah. I like, pretty much the stuff that I love about this episode is the stuff between Alex and Willie, and then also the stuff with, like, Alex and the other bandmates, you know, like, them kind of talking about the things that he's learning and, like, the, you know, developments and, like, their knowledge about being ghosts. Some of that is, like, obviously shown in The Haunting, which I care less about, but, like, it's just nice to see them kind of, like, growing in some ways and, like, bonding over stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, I get the purpose of all of, like, the Bobby Trevor stuff, but I just, like, I don't know. I just don't care as much about those elements. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the focus more on, like, Julie and her band members.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I wish we had gotten to hear some of the songs, too, that Bobby stole.
Yeah, that would have been really nice. I'm not sure exactly how they could have organically fit that in, other than, like, obviously Julie could have played even, like, snippets for them. Like,
mm-hmm,
I get why they just said the titles, but I'm like, I kind of wish we had heard a little bit of the songs.
Tell me what Crooked Teeth was.
It is fascinating to me because they're talking about, like, they thought the connection was to her mom, but maybe it's to, like, Bobby Trevor, and I'm like, either way, I feel like the point is, like, she and the band have a connection through music that transcends, like, time and then, like,
right,
start of their quote relationship, like, she basically discovered rock music through the songs that Luke wrote.
Yeah, like, yeah, because that's, because she says, like, Trevor introduced me to rock music, and she's like, they're like, Luke introduced you to rock music.
Right, like, and they just kind of gloss over that a little bit, but they feel like there's something really powerful in that mm-hmm. idea that, you know, her, like, a big part of the foundation of her love for music comes from their music that they made.
Yes.
So, I don't know. It's something that I am looking forward to, I guess, getting more of. I appreciate that this episode is at least, like, really fun and silly, but it's clear that we're getting to the point where they're just setting a lot of stuff up for later payoff and not necessarily doing as much in the moment with this episode.
Yeah, I think that's it, is that it's an episode that's just putting pieces into place for stuff to happen later. Yeah. Which is just, like, when you only have so many episodes, isn't the most right. interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, filler episodes work better when there's, like, more time that needs to be filled.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. But, you know what? I think we're going to get a lot of payoff in the episode that we're going to cover next mm-hmm. from a lot of stuff that they set up in this episode. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of that.
Yeah, I think it'll be really, really great.
Yeah.
Well, before then, if people want to find us and talk to us, where should they do that?
So you can find us on social media at Blue Sky, at totallynormalat.bsky.social. We're also on Tumblr at totallynormalaboutthat, or you can always email us at totallynormalaboutthat@gmail.com. If you have thoughts or feelings you want to share, or, you know what, if you have, like, really great Julie and the Phantom TikToks, or, you know, fan fictions that you want us to read, or fandom yes. theories that you want to link to us, like,
yes, yes,
we're here for all that stuff. Feel free to send us all of your favorite
yeah. fan things. Content.
We love it, so feel free to send that to us, because we will definitely
yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
And we will be back soon to talk about the next episode.
Sure will.
Bye.
Bye.